afternoon, and welcome to The Lunchroom.
Sponsored by Navita Designs, powered by Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited, and we are live on Radio Caribbean International for Friday, November the 29th, day number 333 of 2019, and we're on to show number 188 here at The Lunchroom, and I am your host, Calix George Jr. And of course, in addition to radio, 101.1 FM and 99.1 FM, you can also follow us live at our website, rcistlucia.com. That's rcistlucia.com. And also on Facebook Live, you can just search for the official page of Radio Caribbean International and please like and share that link as well with your friends. And on today's menu in The Lunchroom, of course, we'll be speaking about our traffic and planning woes and a little bit about the upcoming general elections in Dominica and the United Kingdom. And for our entree, I'll be speaking with the representatives of the St. Lucia Rugby Football Union, the president, Mr. Roger Butcher, and the technical director, Mr. Wayne Panto. And we'll be having a rather interesting conversation about where we are at with rugby in St. Lucia. So please stick in for that. And birthday wishes for November the 29th go out to Seema K2, Megan Henry, Trevor Hippolyte, Melissa Moses, and Kalila Abu Bakr. Happy birthday to you all. May it be blessed with health and happiness, and we hope that you have a wonderful weekend indeed. And of course, if you'd like to send birthday greetings and other anniversary wishes through The Lunchroom, you can do so via email. Just send us an email, lunchroom@rcistlucia.com. And just a bit of history as well. In 1877, on this day, on November the 29th, U.S. inventor Thomas Edison demonstrates his hand-cranked phonograph for the first time, and beginnings of the telecommunications industry right there. In 1935, for those of you who love your physics, Erwin Schrödinger, Austrian, publishes his famous thought experiment, Schrödinger's cat. And that's a paradox that illustrates the problem of how you can deal with quantum mechanics. And in 1951, the first underground atomic explosion occurs in Frenchman Flat in Nevada. And in 1972, for those gamers out there, co-founder of Atari, Nolan Bushnell, releases the game Pong. And that was the first commercially successful video game. And now we move on to our dish of the day. The Daily Dish is brought to you with the kind compliments of our good friends at Tiles Plus. Plus.
Plus style. We have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a Christmas. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bosse Jules Delay, and Clark Street in J4. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
Serving now, The Daily Dish.
And welcome back to The Lunchroom for this Friday. Of course, it's the day after American Thanksgiving, or North American Thanksgiving. And so that is Black Friday. It's a day known for quite a bit of shopping and going out and trying to get deals and what have you. And of course, followed next week Monday by Cyber Monday for those techies out there as well. So, of course, in St. Lucia, we seem to have adopted that somewhat of a tradition in terms of sales. And I know a number of the commercial houses are taking advantage of that, of course. It's always a big question as to whether you're really getting a good deal or not. I'm not a very good shopper, so I can tell you that I'm not one to necessarily get the good deals, but I'm sure there are a lot of individuals out there who are perhaps trying to set up their new homes. They're looking for stuff to put under the Christmas trees and what have you. And so certainly people are going to try to take advantage of all those various sales. Now, it's not a very good time either to perhaps be doing that because of our traffic situation as it is right now. And that has unfortunately been compounded by a situation which has developed in the Sanssouci Lance Road area, just next to the John Compton Highway. And apparently it seems to have been some form of a gas leak, and the authorities have had to come in. Of course, we've seen as well the relocation or the evacuation of the Camille Henry Memorial School, which is in very close proximity to that gas station, as well as, of course, the Wasco offices, head offices. Now, we live in a very small country, 238 square miles, 152,000 acres or thereabouts. So certainly there will always be the need to have very good land use planning, and perhaps we may not have the ability to space out things as much as we may like in larger countries, given our area. But land use planning does matter a lot. And I think in the case of the Camille Henry Memorial School, I'm not sure if they got it right. Placing a primary school next to a gas station, next to a busy highway, next to an airport runway is perhaps not the best of circumstances. And I'm flagging it because we are seeing some of these land use conflicts, these planning conflicts coming up. Quite recently, just last week, we saw the case of the Ave Maria Infant School and the courthouse that was recently established at the corner of Coral and High Street, which is just about, just a block away, really, and less than 100 meters away from that school. And the issues that have come up there, of course, courthouses are meant to be very secure places, but as well as a result of that and the nature of business in courthouses, they can become targets. They can be, they require very high levels of security. And of course, as I said last week as well, if you're planning certain things, if you're planning it maybe 100 years ago, you may not be putting facilities the same places that you'll be putting them today. And certainly the way courthouses are going, although there was this general feeling that, you know, they should be right in the heart of the center of the town, a lot of new court complexes, judicial complexes, are actually being built away from town centers on the periphery of the urban centers because of some of these security issues and because of the greater land requirements that come with them. So certainly something to think about. There was originally, as I mentioned last week as well, this whole plan for a new Halls of Justice. And that originally was being proposed for the Barnard Hill area, and that was through an OECS judicial review looking at courthouses all throughout the Caribbean, the Eastern Caribbean, and looking at development of such courthouses, such infrastructure all across that region. In the case of St. Lucia, of course, there were issues in conflict because there was already an existing use at the proposed site, and that is the National Cultural Center. And clearly, again, you can see the tussle between competing use and competing interests when it comes to land. Land is very, very, very important in a small country like St. Lucia in this age of climate change, where we are being shown models that, you know, if you're looking down the road into 2050 and 2100, if we are going to be facing 2 degrees Celsius in average warming, global warming, or even 4 degrees Celsius, that we, in fact, can very much likely face serious inundation, sea level rise, the implications for the majority of our urban areas is very stark, including the city of Castries. So in terms of long-term planning, some of these have to also be taken into consideration as to how we deal with these issues. And it's not only in the urban realm. We're also seeing issues even in more rural areas. And I bring you back to this issue of the Auger Combined School a few years ago, where the school was constructed, I believe somewhere in the 1960s or thereabouts. And more lately, a poultry farm was established close to that school. And of course, the issues there in terms of fumes emanating from that livestock installation has clearly had a great impact on that school. And eventually, there had to be a relocation of one over the other. So certainly, great implications there. But even more so regarding the traffic situation, our traffic situation is already in the north, in that northwestern corridor, bad already. So whenever you have any sort of disturbance, it really does exacerbate the situation. And it became rather horrendous today as a result of the closure of the highway and other steps that had to be taken in the interest of public safety and public health. And so certainly it brings back that whole issue of having a proper bypass of the city of Castries as it is right now. Yes, people will end up using the secondary roads, but as we well know, these roads are very circuitous. They're very difficult to drive on for the not very well initiated driver, or as we like to call them in St. Lucia, La Mewar. And so when we end up in these situations where we have even trucks going on very narrow roads, in some instances not even 5 meters wide, it really becomes a very serious issue overall. So we do desperately need a proper bypass of the city of Castries, and it is something that planners need to take very seriously. And that's our dish of the day at this point in time. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Mr. Roger Butcher and Mr. Wayne Pantor of the St. Lucia Rugby Football Union.
This has been The Daily Dish.
We have tiles for inside and outside. Bathroom, kitchen with the best price. We range from colors to size. So anytime you want tile, come down and get tile. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss. Everybody welcome to Tiles Plus. Come get your tiles with the low cost. Tiles with the style like a crisscross. All kind of tiles, cars, we are the boss. We are located Lance Road in Castries, Bosses Jubilee Delay and Clark Street in DFR. Telephone number 453-7939. That's telephone number 453-7939. Tiles Plus.
And welcome back to the lunchroom. And of course, it's Friday and we're trying to make it a little light today. And we didn't get to take any of your calls yesterday as well. Unfortunately, due to time. So if you would like to call in, of course, at any time, you can do just that. Just a reminder that our number is 4523046, as well as our WhatsApp number. You can also message in to that number, and it is 724-0008. That's 724-0008. Now, I'm very pleased to have in studio with me two gentlemen of the St. Lucia Rugby Football Union. And rugby is perhaps not the most popular sport in St. Lucia right now, but I'm pretty certain that they are hoping to change that in the not-too-distant future. And in the first instance, I have with me the president of the St. Lucia Rugby Football Union, Mr. Roger Butcher, as well as Mr. Wayne Pantor, the technical director of that same organization. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me in the lunchroom so that we can have a very interesting discussion about, first, the sport of rugby. What's it all about? Demystifying it, perhaps, getting a better understanding of it in the St. Lucian psyche and St. Lucian populace, and then getting into the actual St. Lucia Rugby Football Union. How is it going? How is the progress coming along?
Okay. Well, thank you very much for having us. Rugby in St. Lucia started sometime in about 1984, somewhere around there. And it started with a Canadian gentleman called Miller Young. It survived for about probably 6 to 7 years, and then it died. And in 1992, four persons revived the sport. Actually, they revived the sport because essentially it was a New Zealander and three Trinidadians. In Trinidad at around that time, there was a tournament in Trinidad called the Liat Sevens. So what we had decided to do is, let's see if we can participate and we started to get the game going so we could participate in that tournament. Our first year, we didn't do very well at all. But from 1992 till now, we've been growing from strength to strength. So much so that right now in our female team just came third in the Olympic qualifiers in Cayman Islands, and our male team have just recently defeated St. Vincent in St. Vincent, which is another Rugby America's North tournament.
But before you even go into all those details of your amazing successes, no doubt you're replete with them, Roger, let's go back a little bit, because I think a lot of St. Lucians may still be unaware of really what rugby is. I mean, and what may even make it a little bit more complicated for them is this whole concept of rugby football. So I'm not sure if you want to take it back a little bit, maybe. I'm not sure if any one of you want to do that. And talk about that, maybe the origin of the game. Why, you know, what came first? Was football there first, and then it became rugby football? How did that really, you know, evolve into the sport of rugby today?
Well, like Wayne Pantol, the technical director of rugby, I could give a short version of that story. So simply, some kids were actually playing football in the schoolyard, and one of the guys decided to just pick up the ball and run with it.
Right.
So at that point, just like how we gravitate to the American version of the game, rugby is basically the European version of American football, minus the pads and the other theatrics.
Much tougher game, you would say, as a result of that?
Not really. I would say in the context, and this will deal with demythifying it also, is that the tackling situations in rugby is a little more controlled than in American football. So for instance, they cannot high tackle, they cannot do any dangerous play in the sense of yanking somebody and swinging them off the field and so on. So there's a lot more precaution in the sense of the safety aspect of it in comparison to American football. In the concept of American football, where you'll be pelting the ball forward, that pass will actually be a lateral pass to the side or to the back.
So what you're saying is that in American football, you can do forward passes, you can throw the ball forward, but in rugby, that's not allowed. You can only do side passes or back, passes to the back. Okay.
Right. So, again, in how the game has evolved, there are different versions of the game. So initially, it would have started as the 15-a-side version, right? There's a version known as the 7-a-side version, which is competed at the Olympics and so on. Right, and it tends to be is a little more like how the Caribbean would call small goal football. It's a faster version of the game, and it's more dynamic. So you have more sleek athletes evading one another. Something like what we'd play back in the school is catch and rescue. Yeah. Right, so you're trying to evade the opposition rather than actually going into contact with the opposition.
And it seems that you have fewer hard tackles in that version of the game as well.
Yes, but again, it's built for the more athletic persons. Again, we'd have some heavy set person. When I say heavy set, you'll have a 250-pound, 300-pound guy being able to do the same dynamics as a slim guy. So it's not about really the size, it's about the understanding of the game. And that's what I'm saying, in the sense that the game has evolved so much that their players are basically divided into a 15-a-side version of the game and a 7-a-side version of the game. So for instance, in the landscape of St. Lucia, for the last couple of years, the women, well, let's say basically in the last 5 years, where they have evolved from understanding the game to actually being able to be one of the top three in the Caribbean in that version of the game, the sevens version of the game. So in the sense of the Caribbean athlete as being dynamic and how to put it, quick action muscle tight, right? They tend to gravitate faster to the sevens version than the 15-a-side version.
And I don't know if you want to also differentiate the whole concept of union, rugby union versus rugby league. Is that something that? You play the rugby union form of the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the rugby league and rugby union is very similar, but again, because of the rule structure, is where the difference really lies. So, for instance, it's the same lateral passes. Right, but instead of, like, for instance, if there's an infringement in rugby, in the case of a knock-on or a forward pass, the game is restarted with a scrum where you'll see the 8 guys huddling in the middle, forming the big kind of almost like a turtle. In the rugby union version of the game, that will just be one person standing and rolling the ball back. In the rugby league version of the game, when the ball goes out into touch, they actually do the scrum for that. Mm-hmm. In the rugby union version of it, we have something called a line out where you throw the ball back into play.
Now, as it is right now, we want to get into how would somebody, a young person out there, anybody who's interested, maybe not so young as well, who may want to actually get involved or maybe get their children involved in playing rugby, how would they do this at this point in time? Are there clubs out there? How would, you know, are there set practice times? How would one get involved?
Well, I would just give a little 7 months history, basically, and then after we could build on it from then.
Right.
So, initially, I was contracted by the St. Lucia Rugby Union with conjunction from the Olympic Committee to deliver school programs and introduce the sport into the rural areas. And again, the easiest way to get into the rural areas is actually get into the schools.
And you said you've been doing this for 7 months?
That's 7 months.
Okay, so this is a very new program.
Yes.
That's in place. Yeah.
Right. So approximately 500 kids actually touched the rugby ball over that period, right, at one point or the other. Mm-hmm. Right. So with that being said, there's an opening there for coaches and for teams developing into, like, for instance, under 18 or under 16 teams. Right, so the initial program that we have, we are trying to align to is that these kids would actually go into something called a national academy. Right, so on the 7th of December, we'll be having our first screening in Beaufort. Right, so that is to basically encapture all the kids from the southern part of the island that they don't really have to have the knowledge of the sport, but they have the interest of trying out to represent the country at a national level. They could come to the and from there now they'll be given training to bring them to the next level. In January we'll be doing the same thing in the north part of the island to encompass the kids around this region. Other than that, we have something called the Baby Bees, which are for kids basically from the age of 5 to 12 at the Le Clair Ground every Saturday from 10 a.m.
Okay.
But the president will be able to give you more information in sense of emails and contact numbers and so on for that, those kind of programs.
I mean, you just heard from Wayne that over 500 students thus far over that 7 month period have gotten just a sense of the game.
Yes.
Certainly. How's the response been going, you think?
The response has been quite good, as a matter of fact. We did, we tried to introduce the game to something like 20 schools throughout the island, both primary, secondary, and also including the boys training center. Like I said, the response has been quite good. We recently had our first rugby school festival, inter-school festival, that was held at the SAB last week, Friday. Where the schools that participated in the program came and demonstrated their skills and also played a game. They did not play contact rugby, they played flag rugby, which is essentially they have a belt with two Velcro flags at the side, and the object is to play the game, but to simulate a tackle, you have to pull the flags off the person. So that has been the response thus far, and it's been quite good.
Right. Now we're going to have to take a break at this point in time for our weather news. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation and perhaps start talking about where you see the sport going long-term in St. Lucia.
Christmas.
Yes, it's that time again. Navita Designs, now housed at Rayner Construction and Industrial Products Limited, Vite Boutte, is all stocked and ready to offer you the most unique and elegant Christmas decor for any space. Whether it's white Christmas, red and white peppermint, multicolored candy, or the more contemporary, elegant combinations, we've got it. Don't forget that small accent pieces goes a long way to give that wow effect. And what says Christmas more than the act of giving? So remember to pick up all your gift wrapping essentials and Christmas stockings to bring good cheer. At Navita Designs, we do the creative thinking for you. Visit us at our new showroom in Vite Boutte on the John Compton Highway or call us at 450-7246. Navita Designs Christmas Collection, sponsored by Reno Construction and Industrial Products Limited. Let the magic begin.
We're giving them away at Island Style, Thailand Bat.
So all your mad, what you mean free tiles?
Well, madam, for every 100 tiles you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tiles free.
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little mad.
Wow, that's a deal. And good timing too. So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas. And look how nice those tiles are.
Free tiles, ceramic tiles, porcelain tiles, all tiles, no exception. Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Cass Trees, and Latoni, View 4. Or call 452-450 or 453.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shimari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264. Or 450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
This is Radio Caribbean International. It's now time for the weather news.
Let us now take a look at the latest weather report as of 12 noon today. It's the 29th of November 2019. Our forecast is E. Francis. The present weather at Huronera Fair with showers nearby, and at George Giles we're looking at fair weather. The present temperature at Huronera, 31 degrees Celsius or 88 degrees Fahrenheit, and last night's minimum temperature at Huronera was 25 degrees Celsius or 77 degrees Fahrenheit. The wind at Huronera is blowing from the east at 15 miles per hour or 24 kilometers. After a 24-hour period ended at 8 a.m., no rainfall was recorded at Huronera or at George Giles. The total rainfall for the month of November thus far stands at 116 millimeters at Huronera and 98.2 millimeters at George Giles. Sun will set today, 27 before 6, and rise in the morning at 11 minutes after 6. Now for the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds will be blowing between the northeast and the east near 12 miles per hour or 19 kilometers, becoming lighter and variable at times. And the weather, fair skies, becoming cloudy at times with a few scattered showers. A recap of the forecast for St. Lucia, valid for the next 24 hours. The winds blowing between the northeast and the east near 12 miles per hour or 19 kilometers, becoming lighter and variable at times. The weather, fair skies, becoming cloudy at times with a few scattered showers. We now take a look at the marine forecast for seas in a 25-mile or 40-kilometer radius from St. Lucia. Castries Harbor's high tide will be at 4 minutes after 5 this afternoon, and the low tide will be at 10 minutes after midnight. We are presently experiencing low tide at the VFOB. High tide will be at 11 minutes after 6 this evening. The seas are slight with waves 2 to 4 feet, the same as 0.6 to 1.2 meters in open waters. For the Lesser Antilles, it's partly cloudy skies, becoming cloudy at times, with some scattered showers mainly over the Windward Islands. And our tropical weather outlook, a tropical wave in the vicinity of the Windward Islands will bring cloudiness and some showers over the islands during the next 24 hours. And as far as tropical cyclone formation, we are not expecting any of those to develop over the tropical Atlantic, at least not for the next 5 days. And that is good news. That's our official weather report. Join us again in the morning at around 6:30. Our next official report from the Met Service is due on this station. Thank you, Francis, for the update. Weather was brought to you by Island Style Thailand Bat, Battery World Plus, Caribbean Metals, and Beacon Insurance.
This has been RCI's Weather News. For more information, call the Weather Hotline at 454-3452. RCI 101 number 1.
Free tires, free tires! Come and get your free tires here! Yeah. We're giving them away at Island Style, Thailand Bat!
So all your mother, what you mean free tires?
Well, madam, for every 100 tires you buy at our regular price at Island Style, we'll give you up to an amazing 25 tires free!
Really?
And to be honest, yeah, we've probably gone a little much.
Wow, that's a deal! And good timing too! So I can pretty up my house in time for Christmas! And look how nice those tires are!
Free tires, free tires! Ceramic tires, porcelain tires, all tires, no exception! Visit us at Bella Rosa, Rodney Bay, John Crompton Highway, Castries, and Latoni, View 4, or call 452-450 or 453. Tile.
Attention, attention, attention. Introducing Palmer Automotive Batteries, a leading brand in Asia, now in St. Lucia. Palmer Automotive Batteries are now available at Battery World Plus, Rodney Bay and Massad, Shimari's Garage, Blair's Auto and other leading store outlets. Palmer batteries are of the highest quality and standard with full warranty. Palmer is powered by cutting-edge technology and the leader of the new era. Palmer brand, the best priced batteries on the market. Call us today, 453-7037, 451-2264. 4450-0390.
Caribbean Metals Limited presents Spin to Win Promotion. Spend $500 or more and get a chance to spin to win instant prizes. Spend $2,500 or more and get a chance to spin and enter into the grand prize draw. We have not forgotten our account holders. Pay on your account and get the same chance to win. Promotion runs the first week every month until December. The grand prize, $5,000 cash on December 6, 2019. Like, share, and subscribe to our pages on the various social platforms for more details. Terms and conditions apply. This promotion is approved by the National Lotteries Authority. Caribbean Metals, we've got you covered. Guaranteed.
Get 5 weeks free when you buy home or contents insurance from Beacon. Our insurance is very affordable, and we've got online and mobile services for your convenience. Call us at 458-5860 or log on to beacon.co.tt for a quote today.
And welcome back to the Lunchroom. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., and we are speaking about St. Lucia Rugby, and of course, still in its infancy, but certainly going places, it does appear. I think, Roger, one of your main goals would probably have been to try to get to the Olympics, and that's coming up very soon, next year. How tell us about that journey and why that would have been a target for you.
Okay, well, getting to the Olympics is the zenith of all the sports. You get there and you're playing against the best of the best, and if you are successful, you are the best of the best. We had a four-year strategic plan. We had developed a four-year strategic plan with the end result being we go to the Olympics. That was our goal. So we started to develop our teams geared to that. What we did in our first 2 years is we did not do any international travel and tried to develop our game domestically. Once we had developed our game domestically, we started to go out to international travel. We went to islands close to us that played rugby.
Martinique, for instance.
Martinique and Guadeloupe. Mm-hmm. Mainly because cost of travel is mm-hmm. horrendous for us. Cost of travel and accommodation. So we looked to our neighbors who played, and we essentially tested what we've done did in the first 2 years against them. We were successful. Mm-hmm. And then we entered into the Rugby Americas North seven-a-side tournament. Now, Rugby Americas North is our parent body for rugby in this region, and they have a tournament every year, a seven-a-side tournament every year, and winners of that tournament go to the international tournaments the following year, like they would go to the Olympics if you win, or they go to Pan American Games or the Casco Games, that sort of thing. Once you win, you have the rights to enter. So the first year, we entered, we had we were carded. Our female team was ranked 10th, and we at the beginning of the tournament, and we came 4th. Our male team was ranked 14th, and we came 10th.
And this is out of how many you're speaking of when you say 14?
Well, 14. Oh,
14, 14, 14 teams 14, playing.
14
okay.
teams, right. Mm-hmm. Our next year, which was this year, mm-hmm. We did not enter our male team, but we entered our female team into the Rugby America's North Olympic qualifier. And this year, we moved up a notch, and we became 3rd. But unfortunately, we missed going to the Olympic repechage by 1 point.
So only 2 groups would have gone
only
through.
Only 2 teams. Teams would have gone. Yes, only 2 teams went through.
And so what are those 2 teams? Do we have to overcome
and,
next time?
Mexico and Jamaica.
And
Mexico,
Jamaica.
Mexico and Jamaica.
So even in Trinidad, we beat, are you saying that we, or is Trinidad in the southern?
Yeah, Trinidad is in it. We beat Trinidad. We beat Trinidad.
Okay.
We beat Trinidad at the Olympic qualifiers, and a couple of weeks later we had to play them in another Rugby America's North tournament, which is the women's tens tournament, which is ten aside, and we beat them there too. So
certainly, tell us a little bit about the challenges though in terms of actually running a program like that in a country where the traditional sports, football and cricket, getting individuals to be interested in rugby. Even the issues of maybe the facilities as well. You know, a rugby field is a little bit longer than a traditional football field, a little different in dimensions. How does that work out for you?
Well, our school program, and maybe that's where I should start. Our school program, from our school program, we've noticed that a number of people are interested in the game. And it is our hope that the game will go from strength to strength from there. In terms of facilities, yes, we do have to compete with football and cricket and that sort of thing for the fields. What we have tried to do is we are actually in the process of trying to find a field for our own where we can run all our programs, in particular when we have to run our academies for our under-19s and that sort of thing, and also to host international matches. Challenges, quite a few.
In terms of the schools program, and maybe I'm not sure if Mr. Pantok can jump in here as well, are you also training the trainers, so to speak? You're training coaches, persons in the schools who can actually support the sports programs, working with the PE teachers? Is that
yes.
what you've been up to?
So initially with the get into rugby program and the introduction of the program to the schools is also a development to become also a world rugby educator, right? So the process, well, basically after the 7 months process would have been to certify the school's coaches or PE teachers to be able to deliver the modules to the kids. Just as you mentioned earlier, the challenge that I would have in that situation is that a lot of the personnel tends to stay into the comfort zone, meaning that if they were strong in cricket or they're strong in football or netball or whatever, they tend to stay in that. So that's basically gave me the time to pass the knowledge on to the kids. So out of the 20 schools, it had like about 6 PE teachers who stepped up to the plate in the sense of wanting to be part of the program. And per ratio, that's a very good number, at least for the first attempt, right? So what I told the president is that those persons will be the persons we'll tag on first to the academy, so because they will already have that interaction with the kids. So in the sense of the 4-year progression plan is basically, once these kids move from 16 to under 19 to the senior team, the coaches and the managers also go up with them, and then they repeat the cycle again. As the athlete grow, the staff or the management with the athlete also grow and develop along the pathway.
So, Roger, is that the plan in terms of the next couple of years, in your next strategic plan, perhaps, cycle, to have many more Mr. Pantors supporting that effort of development? Because I'm assuming one of your goals would probably be that you want to have some sort of inter-schools rugby tournament as you know, as the same way that you have an inter-schools cricket or football or basketball tournament going?
Yes, that is actually the aim for the schools in terms of the schools rugby. Nothing beats competition, and that's the only way the game will grow. So we intend to have more school competition. Like I said, we had our first inter-school competition where the schools that took part in the Get Into Rugby program showed off their skills, etc., etc. But going forward, we are going to have more festivals like that, and then the festivals will eventually turn into school tournaments with where we are actually playing matches and that sort of thing.
Do you still have a very hard time with parents and perhaps even children themselves coming over that issue of it being a contact sport? Is that a big challenge to in terms of getting people to come on board?
I'll say right now it has reached the point of 50-50. So in a sense, initially when the program started, where the kids thought it would have been dangerous and so on, and even the feedback from some of the teachers and the parents, that has kind of been settled a little bit, in the sense that even the festival went out without one player being injured. Right? So you can't beat these records. Again, when it is, you have the opportunities of scholarships, overseas contracts and so on, that can be offered to these kids just the same way as cricket and football, right? The kids tend to say, well, all right, we'll give it a try. So because I can speak from my household back in Trinidad, my three kids were offered scholarship in the sense of for the sport, and in Trinidad also it's a growing rural sport. So behind the scenes, you don't really hear much about the sport. But when you get into the sport, you realize it's a bit different from the football and cricket. Supporters, players, everything is a different families, different vibes. So once it is the person picks up the ball, and like for instance playing that first festival, they basically become a rugby junkie.
Is that perhaps one of your strengths? I mean, yeah. For somebody to be big in football worldwide, you've got to be, I mean, exceptional perhaps, or even, certainly football is the most competitive sport out there, but could one say that you could actually accelerate to
higher level.
An international player in rugby a little faster?
From the scholarship standpoint, yes. Yeah. From the to say going through the channel, they're competing for a scholarship from the Caribbean aspect, I would say yes. The international, being an international player, is just being able to get the exposure. So, for instance, St. Lucia being able to qualify for the Olympics, that will be a platform for the players to be seen and be offered the scholarship, the contracts and so on.
We see some countries, the small island countries, particularly mm-hmm. in the Pacific, you know, the Fiji, the Tongas, so. Mm-hmm. They seem to have a certain natural, inclination to the sport in terms of their physique. Is there any advantage that you would say that in the Caribbean we have some sort of natural advantage?
Yes, we have a natural advantage. We're faster than the people in the world. Right? As I said, our strength, right, on and off the field, and it's very similar to the Pacificans, is that we have a local community vibes. So in the sense, as a Trinidadian coming to St. Lucia, when you hear the normal populace speaking to one another, looking in, it looks like an argument. But when you go in and you realize that they're passionate about the dominoes, they're passionate about cricket, they're passionate about anything that they put their mind to, right? And I could say as a testament, even this present team that I'm working, male and female, right? They may have their differences, but when they born together for one common goal, nothing stopping them from achieving it.
Are you finding that the support from women is just as great as with men as it is right now? Or is it still a bit of a challenge?
Well, coming in, I would say the support was greater from the women.
Greater support for women?
From the women, because mm-hmm. they tend to be more focused and directed to what they wanted. Mm-hmm. But this present crop of national players we have, you know, has moved away from thinking rugby is social and actually starting to operate like it's an elite. They are elite athletes.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, tell us a little bit about, we've been speaking a lot about rugby sevens, of course, heading to the Olympics through that track. But tell us a little bit about rugby 15s, because that really is the essence of the game. If you're talking about test matches at rugby level, the Rugby World Cup, it's 15-a-side type rugby. Tell us a little bit about that developmental program here in St. Lucia.
Right, so I'll answer.
Yeah.
The under 19 program that we are working on presently designing is basically to have four regional, and I say regional internally on the island, under 19 teams. Right, so with those teams will be the catalyst to form your national senior team. Right, so the present teams that you have existing now, we have six clubs on the island, right, but they are not six active clubs. Right, these players now would be.
Do you know the spread of those clubs? Can you tell us like where they're located? You know, are they mostly in Castries, Groslyn, in the north?
Generally in the north. So with our under 19 program that we're looking to design, there will be two teams in the south, two teams in the north. Right, so these existing clubs would basically capture these players when they go past the under 19s. So from the under 19 program, our kid might be in there for 4 years. That is where he'll be doing all the fundamental basics, knowing all the positions and streamlining them into being an international athlete. But the local version of the game now, which is the local 15-a-side circuit, he will go back to one of these clubs. So in the end of the 4 year period, we'd have six clubs that can actually compete at each other at a standard level.
Tell us, Roger, long term, you know, what is it going to take, you think, to potentially see a St. Lucia side playing a test match against, Tonga or even New Zealand?
At 15 aside?
Yes.
well,
What's your mark? 2030? What is it?
We'll quicker be able to achieve that at 7 aside. For 15 aside, I think we are looking for another four. To 8 years before we can reach to that level, because to develop an elite team, 15-a-side elite team, it's really a lot of hard work in terms of getting the experience.
We have a call coming in, so maybe we should try to take this call very quickly. Good afternoon and welcome to the lunchroom. What's on your plate today?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Calix George Jr.
Yes, go ahead, caller.
And also my other brothers. Mr. Calix, have a free course meal. I want to deliver in commercial time. One, I just want to congratulate the brothers there, but specifically you, for that initiative to bring on sports. Because, as you know, sports plays a very important part in our development. And the opportunity to promote sport is not being given as easily as that. Most of the time, it's a traditional sport. So I want to thank you for that, and hoping that in the new year, that the Fridays can be dedicated to sports development.
Well, we can certainly try to do so. Certainly, yes.
I think that's very important. Mm-hmm. But I also want to piggyback on my brothers there, because I understand their program very well, and to inform members of the Karate Do Federation St. Lucia, which is now the newest Olympic sport, of the General Council meeting on Saturday at 3 p.m. at the Olympic House. I want to do that.
Okay.
Finally, I just want to raise a question with you. Mr. Calix, some time ago, there was an issue with calling people coolies, and there was a big noise about this, for want of a better word. But that the Black Friday issue, the Black Friday sale, came from a history that we know about, but we would not like to perpetuate this thing. And it is through the sale, as I read it, okay, mm-hmm. from slavery and so forth. And we keep on, I'm talking about the psychological effect, and we keep on saying Black Friday sale is a reference to a time when we should move ahead and use different words, because there was a time someone had used the coolie, and a minister spoke, and I think Mr. Cummins from the Indian Association make big noise. So I believe, as a progressive, I think we should find another word to describe that Friday thing rather than the Black Friday. But my main point, sir, is to encourage you and help you if you can dedicate Fridays for sports and sports development. I'd be very happy to be part of the guest.
Thank you very much, caller. Thank you very much for your big mix bag right there. Of course, you put in your plug for the Karatedo event, no doubt about it. So thank you very much. In terms of the broader issue, the last one, we will have to speak about it. I take your point, definitely, in terms of derogatory use of words and the origins of events, but certainly that's perhaps something that we will have to take up maybe a little later. Now, we're almost out of time, though, with respect to how we're going, of course, and if you'd like to call in still, the number is 452-3046. We'll try to take in one more call if needs be. But in terms, you said in about 10 years, you think you could actually get to the level where we may be actually getting the sport to be worldwide competitive, to be at a point where we may be actually playing the South Africans and the Wales and the Irelands of the world.
The way the world league is structured, and because of the fact that we fall under Rugby America, not the only way that will happen, it may actually happen at the like a under 20 level.
Okay.
In comparison to the senior teams. So like our senior team games, our highest aspiration in our region would be versus teams like Canada, USA, Chile, Uruguay.
Pretty much in the Americas.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on in terms of players here, maybe even looking to go to rugby leagues, tournaments, you know, outside of the Caribbean. Australia has some fairly well developed ones.
In terms of our players going overseas, that is our ultimate aim.
Mm-hmm.
More competition, it's better for us. And like I said, we have started small in that we try to go to competitions within the region. And even within the region, we have challenges because some competitions in the States means that people have to get visas and all that sort of thing. But that is our ultimate aim. At our recently concluded World Rugby Conference, which was at the World Rugby when they're having the World Cup, Rugby World Cup.
So this was in Japan?
Yes, in Japan, yes. Mm-hmm. We had some quite interesting discussions with some of the top-tier teams, and one of them in particular, Wales, has shown an interest. So we have to nurture that and see where that goes.
Excellent. Sounds very promising. And, of course, resources, is that still a big challenge, you would say? Definitely you would probably want a lot more support from wherever you can get it. Corporate St. Lucia, governmental agencies.
Yes. We can always do with more resources. The thing is, we get a lot of our sponsorship from the Olympic Committee and also the National Lotteries. But as you know, everybody gets more or less sponsorship from there. So one of our main challenges is trying to find new avenues of getting sponsorship.
You need some sort of a corporate flagship sponsor, perhaps, to come on board and be the fairy godmother of rugby.
This year, actually, we were able to attract somebody who was interested in rugby, and they were able to help us. So the challenge next year is to attract more people and see where we go.
Wonderful. Mr. Roger Butcher, the president of the St. Lucia Rugby Football Union, as well as Mr. Wayne Panter, technical director. And unfortunately, I understand you're leaving us very soon to bring him back to continue his good work here in St. Lucia. Gentlemen, thank you very much. I don't know if you have any parting words which you'd like to tell to the listening audience.
We just want to encourage the public in general to continue to support the sport. We mentioned on, I think, the 7th of, 7th of,
of, this, this December?
Of December, yes. Yeah. We are having our first screening for our national under-19s and under-16s down in Viewfort.
Where at Viewfort?
At the Philip Marsley ground.
Okay.
So from 9 to 12.
So that's Saturday, December the 7th, from 9 to 12.
Right. And we would like all those persons who are interested to come forward and see what can happen.
And these are people who have no experience in rugby? Or
you don't need to have the experience.
Okay. Wonderful. And then for next year, hoping to have that replicated somewhere up in the north in
January. Up north, yes, in January.
Wonderful.
And then our National Under 19 Academy and Under 16 Academy get started.
Gentlemen, I wish you the very best. I hope that certainly rugby will rise to great heights here in St. Lucia. And that's coming from a rugby fan as well. So, of course, we are out of time here at the lunchroom. So we would like to thank you very much for your calls, for your listenership. Of course, next week we'll start another week of programming. On Monday, we're actually going to speak with a lady, a lawyer who's a professional in immigration to Canada, and that is Mrs. Deirdre Powell. And on Tuesday, we'll be speaking with a new author, Ingrid Charlery, and speaking about her new book, inspirational book indeed. Wednesday, we'll be speaking about road safety, and we have some individuals in from the Department of Transport. And on Friday, going to shift it up a little bit as well, but we'll make that announcement next week, Monday. So that's all the time we have here today for the lunchroom. Thank you very much for listening. I'm your host, Calix George Jr., saying goodbye.